We're glad that you're here. Certainly glad to see my son, our son, Tim, over here, along with the McKinney's, a whole group of folks over there. And we got a fellow up here from Ohio. I told him I was from Cleveland. He said they were trying to get rid of Cleveland. But anyway, we're glad to have everyone that's here that's visiting Medora. We're glad to see you back. This service this morning is being lifted up to God the Father in heaven above. I've been requested. They want us to sing God is so good. I know you're seated down. Would you please stand together again? Let's everybody sing together. Jesus Christ that we'll be talking about. We're talking about the one that has been risen from the grave. The Lord's Supper is prepared in just a few moments. Our Lord, us, will all be able to take the bread and remember the wonderful body of Jesus Christ. To drink the fruit of the vine. And remember, oh yes, remember the blood that was shed. And in that, as we think about it, we praise God in the song that we sing. God is so good.
God is so good.
Seated. We had read to us this morning. The Bible tells us that He's not here, but He has risen from the grave. Do you believe that Jesus was raised up from the dead? Do we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? What would cause an individual to believe that Jesus died, but He didn't stay dead? That He arose. My friend, as you study the appearances of Jesus after His resurrection, we find some very convincing proof from the Bible. The main reason the disciples believed in the resurrection of Jesus is that they saw Him alive after He died. They saw Him alive after they had seen Him dead. Jesus presented Himself alive on a number of different occasions. But the eyewitnesses, as they go forth after Jesus is raised up from the dead, it's proof that they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus said, I am the living one, I was dead, and behold, guess what? I'm alive forever and ever, and behold, I have the keys of death and Hades. Revelation 1 and verse 18. Luke tells us, Jesus on one occasion tells us in Luke 24 verse 39, Jesus says, look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Jesus is telling him, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Jesus has indeed arisen. The first one that He appeared to was Mary Magdalene. In the Bible, in John chapter 20, verses 14 through 16, Mary, after she had been able to talk to Jesus and realize that He was Jesus, what did she do? She goes out and she tells everybody, I have seen the Lord. She believed that Jesus who died was now alive. And what is she doing? She's spreading the word. Mary, the mother of James, Salome, and Johanna. They all came to the sepulchre. And notice what the Bible says, that when the angel of the Lord said that Jesus had risen, they all turned. And they go, and as they were going, they met with Jesus. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail!" And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Proof of His glorious resurrection. Peter, not much is said about the time that Peter actually saw Jesus the first time after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Luke 24:34, "The Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." There are two men on their way to Emmaus. And these two men have left Jerusalem. And they go over, and they're going over to Emmaus. They're talking together, and Jesus comes and joins in with them. And when they're talking to Him, He asks them the question, "What things are you talking about?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, don't you know?" Why, everybody knows, surely. They're sad that He doesn't know. And the Bible tells us that they said, we really had hoped that He was the one that would deliver us. Jesus continues with them, and then He speaks to them, talks to them. And then as they're going their way, it's already evening time. The day is far spent. And so these two men that are on their way to Emmaus, and they say to Jesus, come with us. And so He goes with them. And when He is with them, He sits down to eat. He took bread and blessed it, and He broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes then were opened, and they knew now that Jesus had appeared to them. And He vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, "Oh, didn't our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the way, while He opened us the Scriptures to us?" And guess what? It's about a 6 or 7 mile radius. And these men, now that it's already evening, what do? They go back to Jerusalem because they want to meet with those that they left. And they go back, and as they're talking about the Lord is risen indeed, hath appeared to Simon, they told what things were done in the way and how He was known to them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." He's appeared to Mary Magdalene. He's appeared to Mary, the mother of James. He's appeared already to the other women. He's appeared to Peter. He's appeared now to these two. And guess who's absent? He appears now, as the Bible tells us, that the one whose name is Thomas was not there. That same evening, Jesus appeared to them. But 8 days later, they come together again. Here is Thomas, John 20:26-28. And the Bible says that Thomas now was with them. And Jesus then says to Thomas, "I want you to believe. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be faithless, but believing." And guess what? Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." 7 disciples at the Sea of Galilee. As they were gathered, Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, 2 of the other disciples, and that's not a good picture. But it tells us where Jesus was, that He appeared. And then there was a mountain in Galilee that Jesus had told His disciples to meet Him there. In Matthew 28:16-17, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But yet there were some that doubted. And then Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he tells us that at one time There were over 500 people that witnessed that he who was dead was now alive. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And then there's James, the half-brother of Jesus. And then Paul said he appeared to James and all the apostles. The last was Saul on his way to Damascus. When Saul went on his way to Damascus, there was a voice from heaven that spoke, and that voice was the voice of Jesus. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And it was the one who had died. It was the one who was raised. It was the one who was ascended, is now at the right hand of God. "I'm preaching to you about Jesus." He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now Saul believes. Now Saul is ready to dedicate the rest of his life to serving Jesus Christ. There are many appearances, all of them prove the resurrection of the Son of God, our Lord, our Savior, the one I serve, and serve humbly, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Luke tells us, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Yes. Do you believe? Are you among those that are believers of Jesus, of the one who died and that was raised from the dead? Look at the host that you've already looked at in the Bible who proves that Jesus was victorious over death. These appearances should convince us today that Jesus is who He claims to be. Why, when Paul was speaking, the Bible speaks over and over, Luke writing, all of these people talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In Acts 23, verse 6, Paul perceived that one part was Sadducees, the other were Pharisees. And he knew that some of them didn't believe. And so the Bible says, "I am now being called," Paul said, "in question, because I am preaching the resurrection of the dead. I am preaching Jesus and the hope for those who believe in Him. Touching the resurrection of the dead, I'm called in question. Yea, they even called Him a babbler," Paul in Acts 17, verse 18. "And they said, well, we'll listen to this babbler and listen to what he has to say. He's preaching one called Jesus." Paul wasn't ashamed. He loved Jesus and he wanted these people to believe. Ah, there's so many scriptures, 1 Peter 1, 3, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 10, verse 9, "Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead." John 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection," Jesus said. In Romans 8, verse 11, God says that His Spirit raised up the dead and Jesus was raised up. In Romans 6, verse 4, "The like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father." And Acts 17, 31, "He hath given assurance unto all men," everybody, "in that He hath raised Him from the dead." And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, "He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Romans 8, verse 34, "Yes, He is risen again." In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, "Christ is risen from the dead." Oh, just look at it. Romans 14, verse 9, He died, and He rose, and He is revived. Who? Jesus of Nazareth. And what this day, the Lord's day, means to all of us. We're here. We're offering this service to God because we believe with all of our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Five reasons. Number one, the resurrection is witness to the immense power of God. When you believe that Jesus rose from the grave, you believe there is a God. You believe there's a God that did it, who had the power to raise Him from the dead. And we know then that God indeed is sovereign. He is our Lord. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is also important because it validates who Jesus claimed to be. He said, I am the Son of God, and He is. He's proven it. John 2, verses 18 through 22, He said that He had authority even over to the temple in Jerusalem. It validates what Jesus said. Number three, it proves without a shadow of a doubt that He can forgive us sinners because He Himself was without sin. The Scripture says, God said this Holy One would never see corruption. Psalms 16, verse 10. And let me tell you, friend, my Jesus, your Jesus, our Jesus, never saw corruption. After He died, He was raised up to the glory of God. Number four, it validates everything the prophets said concerning all those prophecies about Jesus. Suffering, dying, and then being raised up from the dead. Christ, if we didn't have that, we'd have no Savior. We'd have no salvation. And there'd be no hope of eternal life. I want to go, don't you, to be with Him. I know He rose from the grave. Why? So we could spend an eternity with God in heaven. Look what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25. He is. And He gives life because He is life. And number five, and finally. And one that everybody in these pews this morning, everybody that's listening to my voice, every single one of us, give thanks to God for the resurrected Jesus because He's promised to raise us up from the dead. Many religions in this world, they offer all kinds of things. They die, and their believers, those people who follow them, have nothing to look forward to. But let me tell you something this morning. When I go and I read the Word of the Lord, I know that He has forgiven me of my sins. He has forgiven you, if you're in Him, of your sins. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The chief of sinners is whom Saul, who later was Paul, said that he was. And he thanks God that he has been forgiven. That he is in God. Because that day that they were taking him, and he's soon to be executed, he would die. But oh, what a death he would die. He would die as one that's forgiven. And be assured that He'd be raised up again from the dead. Wow. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. The importance of the resurrection of Christ, therefore, has an impact on our service to the Lord today, just as Stuart led that good prayer. Lifting our hearts to God, as Matt read those beautiful words, He is not dead, He is risen. And just as Paul concludes that wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. because you're going to be raised up. I don't know how many funeral services I've preached. I don't know how many of you are sitting today next to a vacant spot. Oh, I wish they could be there with you. But I want to assure you one thing. They will not remain in that grave, because the Jesus that I preach, the Jesus that you read about in the Bible, this bread will represent His body, will bring His body to your mind today. This cup, the fruit of the vine as we drink it, we'll remember that precious body of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Oh, what about the resurrection? Ah, where He is, there will we be also. John 14. I want to be there, don't you? I know He was raised from the grave. Are you ready? Yes, the resurrection from the grave. It's so important because it proves who Jesus is. It demonstrates God's accepted Jesus' sacrifice on behalf of our sins. It shows that God has the power to raise us up from the dead. It guarantees that the bodies of those who believe in Christ and are faithful to Him will not remain dead, but will be resurrected unto eternal life, and that I want. The resurrection, it changes everything. As I spent long hours studying this past week, it made me realize what a great blessing it is for me to be a Christian. To me to be able to spend and talk with people about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four witnesses. They all agree. There is a man that writes a commentary. His name is James Burton Kaufman, member of the church. I found this at the end, and I conclude my lesson with it. They said that they said, and they all say, that Jesus of Nazareth is, was, and ever is a supernatural person. Agree or disagree? They say, and they all say in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that He performed the greatest wonders ever seen on earth. They say, and they all say, that He raised the dead to life again. They say, and they all say, that He gave Himself up to die in order to redeem people from sin. They say, and they all say, that He was crucified. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They say, and they all say, that He rose from the dead on the third day. They say, and they all say, that He repeatedly appeared to His own group in His resurrection body. They say, and they all say, that He commanded the gospel of salvation to be proclaimed to all people. They say, and they all say, that He ascended to God, and that all power in heaven and upon earth belongs to Him. They say, and they all say, that He is one with Almighty God. They say, and they all say, that He alone can redeem human beings from the curse of sin. They say, and they all say, Peter, James, rather in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that He shall judge all people on the last day. They say, and they all say, that He is now enthroned with God in heaven. They say, and they all say, that He loves and cares for His spiritual body, the church. They say, and they all say, that He is the Christ promised in the Old Testament. They say, and they all say, that His alone is the name through which people ought to pray. They say, and they all say, that He is Lord and Savior. Yes, they say, and all four of them say, that the fate of every soul ever born on earth hinges on that soul's relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what God says. What is your relationship with God this morning? Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all, would you let me repeat that? That all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Folks, He's risen. We're going to die. And we who are God's people will someday be raised. We want to make sure that we are God's people, children ready to meet the Lord. If you're here today and you've never rendered obedience to that wonderful gospel of Christ, yes, Jesus is risen. Jesus is here and He's promised to save us if only we will ourselves come to Him and obey Him. Won't you believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess His name and be baptized. And if you're an erring child of God, ask God to forgive you. Don't go to the grave unprepared. What a wonderful occasion to be raised up from the grave. Are you ready to meet Him, the wonderful Savior that went all the way to Golgotha and died that ignominious death so that you and I, sinners, could be saved? Won't you come as you are to the One who died for you? Obey Him right now while together we stand in one.